Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2024. It is a mild and cloudy day here in Nashville. We had some strong rainstorms last night with lightning and thunder. It is way too wet out there to be working in the garden. But things are continuing to bloom out. Our favorite redbud tree is putting on a nice show for us. As always, thanks to Ron Trammell for our bluesy intro music, and a special thanks today to Jessica Woodard for putting me in touch with today's guest. There is some good news to report since our last podcast. In the face of rather strong opposition, the legislature has postponed consideration of a bill which would have deregulated development in Tennessee wetlands. This issue, however, deserves to be watched by interested conservationists. There surely will be behind-the-scenes discussions which will continue through the summer and into next year's legislative session. As I look across Tennessee, I see that one thing continues to inspire citizens to band together with grassroots-style activism. That is the protection of our rivers and streams. Tennessee wants clean, swimmable, and fishable streams. People in Tennessee recognize that this is not only foundational to our ecological health, but it is part of our cultural heritage and economic vitality. For today's program, I want to shine a spotlight on one such grassroots group, the SWEET organization, that is, Clean Water Expected in East Tennessee, SWEET, located in Cook County. They've been standing up and fighting for the health of the Pigeon River for many years. And the Pigeon River is certainly a case study, if there ever was one. Pollution of this beautiful stream extends back over 100 years, with decades of litigation across Tennessee and North Carolina border, all in one of Tennessee's most economically depressed counties. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk at length with Spring Duckett, a community organizer with SWEET. We talked a little about the history and current activities of their organization and how a cleaner river contributes to the economic vitality of the area. SWEET continues to work to assure that economic development in that distressed community does not compromise the abundant natural features of the area. And I hope you will enjoy this conversation with Spring Duckett, and we will get started right after this brief message.
Hi, this is Heather Lose, Editor-in-Chief of the Tennessee Conservationist Magazine. Every year, we publish 6 beautiful issues packed full of timely and informative stories about Tennessee culture, people, and places. You can stay informed about your world and all the great things happening in your Tennessee state parks. It's easy to subscribe. Just go to our website at tnconservationist.org. Thank you.
Spring Duckett, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. It's so great to be here today.
Well, great to see you, Spring. I can see that you're up there in Cosby. You're sitting on your front porch, you told me, and your canine unit is visiting there with you, and looks like a beautiful day there up next to the Smokies.
Oh, it sure is. The leaves have all kinds of new buds on them. The flowers are starting to come up. Our natural wildflowers are just everywhere. It's really pretty.
Super, super. Well, Spring, I met you just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun to chat with you about your organization, SWEET, which stands for Clean Water Expected in East Tennessee, which I thought was a very clever name for an organization. And I want to talk about that organization with you today. But as we get started, let's do the who, what, where, and how thing, but let's start with where. Your organization is headquartered there in Cosby, Newport, Tennessee, and tell us is that correct, and what is the geographic sphere or limitations of your organization?
Yes, and I've heard people say seaweed, but we say sweet.
Okay.
Clean water expected in East Tennessee, and we are located here in Cosby, which is in Cock County, Tennessee. We are at the very northeastern corner of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Where I'm sitting, I'm about a mile from that border, which is pretty fabulous.
Right.
And we work here in Cock County, and then in the surrounding region, this corner of East Tennessee, if you will, working on water quality, on helping people to understand how to look for markers to know if the water is clean. And then we also do a lot within the greater community. We offer garden festivals, and we're working small businesses downtown Newport, and we've been working on building grassroots economies. But we kind of try to reach out to all of our neighbors through a variety of healthy ways.
Okay. Your audio is coming in just a little bit funky. I see that you're using a lapel thing, and let's make sure we get that close to your speaking voice.
Okay.
Much better. Okay. Very good. If our listeners would go to a map and go to the farthest reaches of the Tennessee boundary, to the, as you said, the northeastern point where the Great Smoky Mountains National Park starts, and I guess the Cherokee National Forest starts there and goes further north and east. There are a couple rivers that emanate from the Smoky Mountains and flow into Tennessee from North Carolina. The Pigeon River and the Nolichucky are two that come to mind. And I know your group is involved with both of those rivers. Is that right?
That is correct. In Cock County, we have the Pigeon River, which is only about 70 miles. About half of it is in Haywood County, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. The other half comes through Cock County and actually dumps into our third river, which is the French Broad River.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the Nolichucky, you know, it comes from farther east and comes through Cock County on its way to also dump into the French Broad.
Right. And the Pigeon River should be distinguished. That Pigeon River should be distinguished from the Little Pigeon River, which is the river that flows through Gatlinburg and Pittman Center, Tennessee, the middle prong and east prong of the Little Pigeon River. Is a completely different river, but it also flows into the French Broad.
Yes, and the Little Pigeon actually starts right in the park, probably somewhere close to the North Carolina border,
right,
but still on the Tennessee side in what's called the Greenbrier area of the park.
Right, right. A beautiful, beautiful, beautiful area. Well, I guess organizations like yours would not be formed and would not be necessary if all was well with the water quality in the Pigeon River. So that's a long, long, and involved story about the water quality in the Pigeon River. I guess starting around the turn of the century, you know, from 1910 era, is that right?
Yeah, it was at 1908 when Champion Paper was created in what became Canton, North Carolina. This town was built up around the mill.
Right. Tell us what happened.
Well, for a very long time, there were no checks and balances on any type of industry, certainly not on industries that were right on water. And throughout the 1900s, there were a lot of really horrible pollution issues, to the point that people downstream here in this part of the Pigeon, specifically in Hartford, there were people dying from cancer. There were wells were poisoned. A lot of the ecosystem was really destroyed. And around the 1980s, there finally started to be some kind of pushback with groups trying to find violations to be held accountable. after the Clean Water Act had been in, passed in the 70s. And then by the mid 1990s, there were some folks that started doing some whitewater rafting on the Pigeon here in Hartford, Tennessee. And those folks got together with longtime residents of Cock County who had been losing countless relatives to cancer and other issues from the paper mill. And then they really, really started to dig their heels in to get it cleaned up. And from that fight, SWEET was officially formed in 2013 as a 501c3, but that was also in the era where they had finally had a big enough fight that they had brought the EPA in and had a settlement, and things really had to change, which was amazing.
Right. I know that sometime in the 80s or early 90s, there was actually a lawsuit where the state of Tennessee sued Champion Paper, and I guess but at that time had the name of the company changed? I can't remember, but.
It was Champion all the way until around the time of the EPA settlement in
Okay.
the early teens. And at that point, it was bought by Evergreen Packaging, which is an international company.
Right. You're good.
So the I think the first lawsuit was in the 80s, maybe 1983 or something like that, and it
Right.
was actually Tennessee and North Carolina people trying to work together, but it was a long, hard fight. And then once Evergreen purchased it and the permits, the NPDES permits were actually starting to be enforced better, there was still a lot of room for improvement. And we actually just in 2021, they did their next NPDES permit, which was supposed to be on a 5-year schedule, and it had actually been over 10 years since they had redone the permit. But I'm really, really grateful to say that as of June of 2023, the paper mill is closed. And while we're still dealing with after the fact violations, that are being dealt with, there's no longer a paper mill operating on our tiny little headwater river.
What is an after the fact violation? I don't understand. What do you mean exactly by that?
I just read an article in the Smoky Mountain News this past week that was talking about how they have been found of multiple violations since the mill has closed. Some of those violations had to do with them dumping chemicals in with the, I guess, with the wastewater, because they are also the wastewater treatment center for Canton in until they come up with something different. There's also coal ash ponds and black liquor seeps and all kinds of things that will take, a pretty big amount of effort to remediate and to take care of. And based on what I was reading in the article, there are definitely things that the paper mill is not really doing to deal with that.
So this has to do with really the cleanup of that site, sort of as a brown land site.
That's correct.
Right. Wow. That's so interesting. Well, your organization is involved in a multifaceted way to try to keep tabs on the water quality there. And I see that you all have a volunteer core of people that are involved in collecting samples of water and that sort of thing to monitor the quality of the water up there. Is that right?
That's right. We have one of our staff members who, and she's amazing. Her name's Jillian, and she leads the chemical grabs and the macro invertebrate counting. We work with an institution in North Carolina, usually yearly, if not every other year, to help teach citizens how to do basic science. Macroinvertebrates are like these small insects, if you will, that are in the water, in the creeks, in the rivers, and we teach people how to identify those and how to catch and see what's available to know the level of cleanliness based on the varieties. And then we do chemical grabs out of the rivers where we take the water and send it to a lab to be tested for different chemicals that would be present based on the mill runnings. And then also we collaborate with Mountain True out of North Carolina throughout the entire summer season from Memorial Day to Labor Day, doing weekly grabs out of the pigeon in multiple locations to test for E. coli.
Now, the E. coli is a bacteria which is associated with human waste material, and I guess it's an indication of something gone wrong in the stream if it's a high level.
Yes, because for it to be present would mean that it could be from the wastewater treatment plant, but it could also be from if people are improperly dealing with their septic, or if people are dumping things in the river that they shouldn't. There's a variety of ways that E. coli can end up in there, but it is really dangerous and can make people really sick.
And I guess you'll have some sort of a mechanism for posting that information so that the public can be aware of that. Is there an iPhone app or something like that that Mountain True uses? Or tell us about that so that our listeners will know.
There is a really cool app. I think it's called Swim Guide, that people can get, and it's for lots of places that you might go swimming. I believe it covers multiple places in the United States. And so, when it's the swimming season, if you're going to go somewhere to a natural body of water, it's very likely that you can look and see what that area looks like if they've been testing it and say, hey, well, this is a safe place to swim, or maybe we should take the kids to a different river or lake if it's been failing.
Well, I guess it's good news that the water quality has improved so that it's safe for whitewater rafting and that sort of thing and swimming. How about the fishing? Tell us about the water quality in the Pigeon and Nolichucky. How are you doing along those lines?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not going to say that the water quality in either of them are great. I know that the Nolichucky has dealt with everything from radiation waste in the past to nitrogen problems in Greene County. I just heard something my director was telling me last week about an issue that's going on up there that has to do with maybe a gunpowder factory or something like that. There's a lot of different pollution points in the Nolichucky. And then with the Pigeon, although the mill has closed last year, it's still being used for wastewater treatment. And it's also, they're still closing down the mill. And so, as that article we found in the Smoky Mountain News shows, there's still pollution happening. There are multiple signs on all the rivers around here in different places that say that you can't eat certain types of fish because of mercury levels. Now, as far as improvements on the Pigeon, you don't get the smell off of it the same anymore. We haven't been seeing the white foam floating on it. The water itself is starting to look clear. But due to the century of pollution and coal ash ponds and things like that, I'd imagine it's going to be quite a while before we could actually eat some of the game fish that are actually in the river.
Right. Safe for swimming though, and there are fish there.
Oh yes, there's definitely there's a lot of fish. There's also ospreys. We've had eagles come back into the area. I've seen some beautiful trout. I don't know if any of your listeners like to garden, but in case they do, in the summertime when you get the hornworms on your tomato plants, I've actually taken those little buggers off because they'll eat a whole plant in a day. But they're really good bait for bass. And I like to go over to the Pigeon, even though I can't eat the fish. I'm an avid angler, and it's also got plenty of room for me to practice with my fly rod and things like that. So
Well, okay. Well, good.
it's improving.
Well, there are, I guess there are two or three rafting organizations up there operating, and I guess that has a very positive effect on the economy there.
The rafting industry in Cock County is one of the largest industries, if not the largest industry in the county currently. It's one of the most popular places, at least in the southeastern United States, to come whitewater rafting. It's predominantly class three. It's a lot of fun. And I think there's maybe 10 or 12 rafting companies over in Hartford at this point. Most of them are locally owned and operated, and I know guides that come back year after year because they have a lot of fun on our river. It's not as dangerous as some of the other places you can go whitewater rafting, so it's enjoyable.
Do the local officials and the local business community, are they really aware of the economic contribution that activity is making to the county?
Oh, they're definitely aware of it. There is a, I guess it's a regulation that has to do with the rafting, where $2 per person that goes down the river as a customer goes into the county general fund. So the county itself gets a pretty decent sized revenue, especially with the growth that we've had over the last several years on the how many people come.
Well, that is good news. That's a good feedback mechanism for those county officials to be aware of that industry.
Oh, for sure. They recognize that tourism is a very viable economic choice for our area, with all of our national forests and national park, and then the rivers and the whitewater and the hiking. There's mountain bike trails coming in. We've got a lot of things here for people that actually enjoy being outdoors and actually being in nature.
So, Spring, your organization, let me ask you this, is it a membership organization, or can people be a member of your organization, or how is it organized along those lines?
Well, now we are a nonprofit, IRS designated 501c3. We have a board of directors, and then we have three part-time staff people, and then we have a number of volunteers. We don't offer membership in it, but we are open for anybody that wants to participate, and we've had some really amazing volunteers over the years too.
Well, I know from your website, and folks that are listening should check it out. If you just Google CWEET, it will show you their organization. There are all kinds of events that you all have going on in your area. I see that you've got a spring garden and art festival coming up. Tell us about that.
Our annual art and garden festival is a lot of fun. This might even be the, maybe this is the 10th year. We've been doing it quite a while. All of our events are always free to the public. We never charge for any events. And the Tennessee Arts Commission, gives us a grant. It's called the Art Builds Communities. And so they have a matching grant with us to help us put this on. We offer heirloom seed giveaways every year. We get lots of seeds from So True Seeds and Highland Mowing, I think, and several other seed companies. We offer make and take workshops. So we go out into the community and find local artists and local gardeners that would like to share some of their talent. And they will do a little workshop, whether it's to teach you how to make your soil starter or to felt a little flower or anything in between, so that we have active participation with the community and, you know, skill sharing. The last several years we've had Joe Ragman Williams, and he'll be back this year. He's a local storyteller.
Ah,
And
good.
so having that oral tradition and carrying on that Appalachian spirit, it's really amazing. We've had music last year, and then this year we're going to have again life-size puppetry arts. So it's a lot of fun for the whole family.
So this is Saturday, April 27th.
That's right. It's from 11 to 4, and it's right in downtown Newport at the Thriving Artists Co-op.
Fantastic. And then I see that in May there's a music and cultural arts festival. And I see a big list of people that are going to be involved in that.
The Roots to the River Festival
Oh,
is
that's
what
there it
that's
is,
called.
Roots to the River. I see the name. Yes.
And they have their own website. It's called rootstotheriver.com. Now, Sweet is helping to facilitate that, and we're certainly an integral part of that. Art is actually the number two income generator in the United States, and through a program called the AIR Initiative that we participated in last year, we were able to invite interested people in the community to come together to build a project, and we were able to get a matching grant for $10,000. And these folks have worked really hard all year to bring this festival. We're going to be having it right on the Pigeon River in downtown Newport. As you see from the lineup, there's a huge amount of well-known musicians, and we're going to have Cherokee dancers. We'll have a storyteller there, a number of local vendors, and just trying to not only bring people downtown and show how people can come together, but to really celebrate the cultural arts of this area because it's such a special culture that we live in.
It is the truth. I had not been to Newport, Tennessee's downtown area in many, many years until I guess it was 2 years ago. My wife and I were traveling up in that area, and we stopped and had lunch in downtown Newport. And it's a vibrant little downtown area. I mean, it's not a big area, but certainly there's a lot going on down there, and things for visitors to see.
It's really exciting to see the growth happening in downtown Newport. It's while Parrottsville is also incorporated, you can pretty much say that Newport's the only town in the county. And a lot of things down there kind of sat empty for a while, but there's been a real push for revitalization. We've got a new ice cream shop. I mentioned the Thriving Artist Co-op. That's actually a collaborative cooperative LLC that's run and owned by the artists that have their wares in there. There's a new coffee shop downtown. There's a new axe throwing place. Like, we have a lot of stuff coming in, and we're really starting to see visions for revitalizing downtown, and it's really exciting.
Spring, from an economic development standpoint, Cock County has been lacking in for so long. I guess the state governor and the folks keep a list of economically deprived or needy counties, and Cock County tends to be on that list all the time. And it's really, to me, incongruent because it's so close to Gatlinburg, Sevierville, and the environment around there is virtually the same as Gatlinburg and Sevierville. Beautiful mountain areas, beautiful streams. It's always surprised me that that area has not grown up more.
Well, Cock County is absolutely considered a distressed county. It's one of eight, I believe, left in
Right.
the state of Tennessee. I understand the concept that economically it's been really challenging here, but looking around in 2024, seeing the fact that Cock County really hasn't caught up with the hustle and bustle of everything around us, I see an advantage in that because so many places have already not only been developed, they've been overdeveloped.
Sure.
We love our neighbors in Sevier County, and I don't know how long it's been since you've been there, but you come out of the park into Gatlinburg, and it's pretty much concrete or mountains full of cabins everywhere you look, all
Right.
the way. Pigeon Forge is all the way, and I mean, it's developed, it's booming. But that's not environmentally sustainable for the long term
You
because
bet. You
then you
bet.
lose your natural resources. And so I'm really hopeful that Cock County can look around and kind of understand that there are sustainable choices so that in 50 or 100 years, we will still be sitting in such a natural paradise. While in the long run, it's not great that the county got left behind before. Now it kind of puts us ahead of the game because everybody's running out of nature.
You bet. Now, Cobb County, does it have a planning commission, and how is it organized to control growth there? Or is it organized to control growth there?
There is a planning commission. So the county has, we have a CLB, a county legislative board. We have a county mayor, but then we also have what's called the Cobb County Partnership, which is comprised of the economic board and the planning commission, the tourism commission, and the chamber of commerce. And that is actually its own organization that's separate from the public officials. And this week, they actually just put out their new draft for their economic plan or their desired economic plan for the next 10 years. So they're actually collecting feedback from the Cobb County residents right now.
Tell us more about that.
Well, as we were talking about, there's a huge recognition of tourism dollars, what's already being made here, and the amount of traffic that comes through this area. Because I think in 2023, the numbers are like 14 million people came into the national park or something like that. And they're really looking to capitalize on that and try to build, really build a big booming tourism industry on this side of the Smokies and call it we call ourselves the adventure side of the Smokies, and looking to bring in big investors and developers into our both of our opportunity zones that are located at opposite ends of the county. So they have a lot of plans for urban planning and big growth that will bring what they hope to be big money into our county.
I guess that's going to be a challenge to your group and to others there to make sure that that's done consistent with the quality of the environment.
That's a really big challenge. In September of 23, the county finally passed zoning, which we were one of the last counties in the state to pass zoning, probably one of the last in the United States.
I was going to say one of the last in America. I would say that, that was a badge of honor for so many years in Cobb County that anything goes there was kind of the expression.
Well, that and the attitude that I can do what I want, it definitely still prevails, and a lot of people were not happy that zoning was passed. That's still a source of contention. But what we actually need to be able to sustainably protect and control what happens so that we don't get run over like so many other areas that look to tourism when they have natural beauty is we need some specific regulations that delineate between minor and major developments that require engineering studies and environmental impact studies prior to the developments happening of a certain size. And so, we've been participating in county meetings and we're working on public outreach and awareness and just really trying to help people understand that the way municipalities are set up, your local government absolutely has the ability to create and enforce regulations that will keep the county in control and able to protect the residents that already live here and the ecosystems that we have that cannot be replaced anymore.
So, is that message coming through to your local officials there, or is it a mixed bag? Or tell us.
I'll call it a mixed bag. We have some local officials that are keenly aware of what's happened in the rest of the world while Cobb County's been sitting in the background and know what's coming if we don't get ahead of the big developments and giant investors. We have some that are really see that as the only way to move forward, and I think we have some that really don't understand the precipice that we're standing on, not just in Cobb County, but in the on the entire planet. You know, I'm surrounded by people that don't really understand the serious dangers that the environment everywhere is looking at with climate change and with industrialization, and that there are viable alternatives to that. So it's an uphill battle most of the way.
Well, let me ask you this question. What is it that the listeners to my program who are around Tennessee and in the Southeast region, what can they do to support you in your efforts to preserve and protect that area?
Well, there's oh, let's oh, that's a good question.
It's a big question.
We're a tiny grassroots organization, and we get all of our funding comes from grants that we apply for or donations. So, whether you go to our website, or you go and look us up through Patagonia, as we do get a lot of support from them, and making a financial donation to us would be really helpful. If you have skills that you would like to volunteer, it can even be remotely. If you're going to be in the area and you want to help us pick up some trash, drop us an email. If you are an attorney or a scientist or someone who has a skill set that relates to environmental preservation and protection, and you have a few hours you'd like to donate, again, drop us an email, which is sweet4water@gmail.com. We understand that everything that happens for progress is participatory, and it takes a village. And we're in such a tiny area, we have a lot of fun reaching out to find other people to talk to, that can help us.
If a person is coming to your neck of the woods, is there an opportunity to visit there? Visit with
We
you?
don't have, yes, we don't have a brick and mortar office, but between myself and my director and other volunteers that we have, if you let us know that you're coming, we absolutely have time to meet with you. We can suggest some places that you might want to see and go from there. We'd love to hear from people.
Well, listeners, this is a beautiful part of East Tennessee. Definitely worth. I had my microphone turned in the wrong direction. I was wondering why my sound was not right. This is a beautiful part of the world to visit. When I lived in the Gatlinburg area many years ago, we would often go to avoid the crowds in Gatlinburg. We would often go to the Greenbrier entrance to the park, or if we had the time, we'd go down to Cosby, to the Cosby campground there, and use that as a place to park, to go hiking and that sort of thing. And you're in the same beautiful Smoky Mountains park, but you don't have the crowds that you experience in the Gat, you know, in the surrounding area of Gatlinburg. Cobb County is a gorgeous place to explore. So if you're visiting in East Tennessee, it's certainly worthwhile to go there and visit. Let me add just one other thing. For listeners who listen to this program frequently may remember that about 4 years ago, I was in Cobb County and visited the Goodwater Vineyard, and interviewed the folks there that are starting a new vineyard there in Cobb County. What a great place that is, Spring.
Oh, those are great folks. The family has been here for a long time. They have been an integral part of the community. They make delicious wine. I hear they're now making some really high-end food to go with those wine tastings. And they're really good people. They're a great example of the Appalachian culture that is still alive and well right here in Cobb County.
Right. They have their own vineyard there, but they also purchase fruits from farmers in the surrounding area and make wine from the different fruits that are there. Not just grape wine, but cherry wine and peach wine and all that sort of thing. Anyway, Cock County is a beautiful place to visit, and let's hope that it stays that way, Spring.
We're certainly working hard to make sure it does, and we really appreciate talking with you today. This has been great.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and we wish you luck in your endeavors. And again, people, if you're up in Cock County or up in East Tennessee, certainly worth a visit. Thanks, Spring.
Thank you so much, Mark.